Good afternoon, and welcome to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey, alongside with Matt Tritton, as we'll be talking Northwest Missouri State Athletics for the next hour. And Matt, busy weekend this past weekend for both the Bearcat men's and women's basketball teams. First of all, for the men, they made that trip north to Aberdeen, South Dakota, as they've competed in the Small College Basketball Champions Classic. They went 1-1 in that. Northwest women's team had a couple of good wins as well, opening up their home season on Friday with a victory over William Jewell, then going down to Municipal Auditorium, picking up a win there, defeating Rockhurst.
Yeah, kind of a busy season where there's two teams heading their separate directions right now for some non-conference matchups. But right around the corner, we've got MIAA basketball coming up starting on November 30th, so that is nearby. But, yeah, at this point, both teams heading in separate directions, both picking up some good lessons early on in this season, discovering a little bit more about each other's teams. Both squads have a lot of returners back from a season ago, but still kind of finding that identity as both teams I think every season you get into, and both Coach Meyer, Coach McComb will talk about this too, but every team is just different from year to year, even if you have a lot of the same players overall. So kind of seeing those two teams discover who they are and kind of figure out different things as they go through situations here in the non-conference, and they hope to be ready to go for that Thursday evening matchup against Missouri Southern on November 30th.
For the Northwest women, 4-0 start, first time since what I believe 16-17 season they've jumped out to a 4-0 record.
Yeah, and that year they went started out 5-0 and got things going in a good direction, but then they ended up going 9-18 was the final record that year. So maybe a little bit of fool's gold for that 2016-17 season as they're trying to build things up. But I feel like if you look at this year, they beat some quality opponents. They're coming out, they're scoring well, they're still playing some good defense. So they're discovering and learning more and more about this new style of play, getting up and down a little more as opposed to being more of a half-court style we've seen in previous years. So I think this team has some good experience, the continuity factor, and they've got some really good athletes out there too. So I think this is going to be fun to see them grow. They've got William Woods coming up on Saturday, a chance to move that to 5-0 before MIAA play begins. Of course, this conference is so tough. It's a lot of challenges night in and night out, but it just feels like this Northwest team has the horses to withstand some of those tests as we go throughout the year.
You know, the thing that looks impressive to me just on the outside looking in is they're putting up a lot more points on the board early, and also fourth quarter. It looks like they've been wearing down opponents and really playing well in the fourth quarter so far.
Yeah, one thing about it, if you're going to play this style of basketball, you have to be in good condition. And that is one thing you could definitely say for Coach Meyer's club right now is they can get up and down the floor, and he's rotating in enough to make sure that everybody is able to stay fresh to where maybe you're only getting a 2 or 3 minute spurt, but you want to leave everything out there so that that next round can come in and kind of pick up where you left off and go to the bench, get a great break, quick drink of water, and right back in. So it's fun the way they play, and they're doing it at a high level right now. So growing pains will come as you have any changes year to year, but I think this is going to be a good team to watch throughout the season.
For the Bearcat men's basketball team, 2-2 on the year so far. They split games up in Aberdeen. And one thing about it, and we said this year after year under Coach Ben McCollum, they're not afraid to play tough teams early, and that's been the case. They split in the Hillier Classic where they took on a couple very good teams there, and then this past week defeated a very good Upper Iowa team on a Friday night, winning that one 91-82, and then on Saturday, a game against an Emmanuel out of Franklin Springs, Georgia. First time they faced Emmanuel, a team that's making that move up from NAIA to Division II, and they're doing it pretty successfully. Made the NCAA tournament a year ago. They have a player that's considered one of the top players in Division II. He ended up with 30 points against Northwest. Got a lot of those at the free throw line down the stretch against the Bearcats as well. But some tough competition in Aberdeen and came away with a 1-1 record up north. And I think despite 2-2 right now, there's a lot of good things ahead for that Bearcat men's basketball team.
Yeah, they've got some guys that can go out there and play. Of course, you would look at what Bennett Sturtz has done through four games, what Wes Dreamer's done through four games. Of course, Wes, the MIAA Player of the Week this week, the second time he's received that in his career. Everybody knows Northwest Missouri State men's basketball. They know some of those big names, but now it's kind of about some of those other guys finding ways to step up and really be key contributors as we go throughout this season. So you're right, Coach McComb does not shy away from playing some of the best around the country every single year. These first four games, these aren't scrubs. These are really good teams. Now, it doesn't get any easier coming up tomorrow either, going on the road to face University of Missouri St. Louis, but this will be a battle-tested team as we head into MIAA play. And again, you're looking at a team that has good players, but they also appreciate the coach and the time that he is putting in. And I mean, we hear it time and again from folks around the program, but also around the country. This is one of the best basketball minds in the country. Ben McCombs get the most out of his teams, and so a 2-2 record to this point, you can't buy into those losses by any means, just knowing that they're going to build off them and be ready to go. I mean, you think about the journey this team's going to go on from November to the MIAA tournament in March. I mean, it's going to be just leaps and bounds of growth for this program. So it'll be fun to watch them continue to develop and different guys step up.
And you talk about Missouri St. Louis, a tough opponent tomorrow. Their record a little bit deceiving as well. They can go into a game they've got today as well. They're 1-3 right now, but they played a similar type of schedule the Northwest has had, and they've lost a couple players off of last year's team, made it to the Elite Eight, and I think they're kind of in the process of finding out who they are as well. But they've got a lot of talent on that team, so that ought to be a good matchup tomorrow afternoon, a game they can hear on KXCV, KRW as well. That's a 3:15 tip-off, but that'll be an interesting matchup tomorrow.
Yeah, it's misleading if you're just going to look up the records and say, is this going to be a game worth it or not? It'll be two very well-coached teams, very good players on both sides, and, you know, we see Northwest getting some younger guys that are four-year players are really acclimated to Northwest style. On the UMSL side, we're seeing maybe a few more transfers being mixed in as they're trying to kind of get their bearings early on in the season. So a highly competitive matchup they're going to see in November. They might see again come late March.
Yeah, you never know. We talk about good coaching there. Bob Sumville, the longtime coach at Missouri St. Louis. He was at Central Missouri and assistant under Norm Sturt at the University of Missouri as well and UMKC. So he's been around the region, assistant up at Iowa State too. So he's got some basketball chops there too. He knows what he's doing over on that side of the state.
You know, the coaching pedigrees that you're going to see in that basketball game on Wednesday for Northwest and UMSL, that's pretty special. I think that's one thing that we do overlook a lot of. The level of athleticism in Division II basketball, but also just those coaches overall. We're pretty spoiled in the MIAA, but then branching outside the conference still here in the state. It's going to be pretty fun.
As far as cross-country goes this past weekend, they had a trip down to Joplin, a 24th place finish in the national cross-country meet there, and Drew Atkins, an All-American, personal best time as well, 30:15.5 there with a 34th place finish. So he finishes out strong, as the men's team does too, making it to the national championship meet.
Now, Drew Atkins, you mentioned, All-American, ran a 10K, that's 6.2 miles. Tell me if this sounds familiar. 4 minutes, 52 seconds per mile. That is typically what John Coffey puts up when he's going out for a jog. Drew was laying it down, and this is a young team overall that Coach Cunningham, Coach Masters have there on that cross-country side of things. So to see this men's team make it to the national championships, finish 24th amongst a really good field of competitors up and down, that is a heck of a season. So you know this is going to be a program that continues to build. The women's team, national championship meet a year ago, didn't make it this year, but they're also very young. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of good things there on the running side, and that's going to build for next year cross-country. But also think about it, too. We're about 12, 13 days away from the Mel Churchma Classic. The first indoor track and field meet is right around the corner on December 2nd. It's coming up pretty quick. So we know we're going to see good things in cross-country next year, but we're going to see a lot of these same student-athletes that performed well in cross-country tearing it up in indoor track and field here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, those guys, there's just really no off season. You go from cross country to the indoor season, then as soon as the indoor season's over, a week or two later, they get it to the outdoor season. So it's just nonstop training for those guys.
It's nonstop training on the coaching side of things. You know, you go from cross country into the indoor season when Northwest typically hosts three, four, five events throughout the year, and so those get to be some pretty big meets, so many competitors coming in. So there's a lot of juggling on the coaching side going on, but you're right, it is nonstop.
Then volleyball ended up their season last week in the MIAA volleyball tournament held down in St. Joseph, and again, I know it probably is a season that a little bit disappointing to the coaching staff and the players, but again, you look at their record, 15-14, eighth straight season they finished with a winning record, and that's something to be proud of.
That really is. That is the longest stretch of consecutive winning records in Northwest volleyball history. So that program is doing things the right way. Coach Worth, of course, picking up her 200th win late in the season. Her and Jackie Case, you know, are still after it working right now, even the season wrapping up. I'm sure they feel like they left a little bit out there, and they should have picked up a few more wins here or there, but that's a group that had to battle through a lot of injuries, adversity, still found their way into the MIAA tournament. And, you know, they're picked to win the league this year. That's awfully tough to go through that and then not quite meet those goals that you had set before yourselves. But, boy, now there's a chip on the shoulder of Northwest Missouri State Volleyball once again. They'll be overlooked a little bit heading into next season, but I think that's all right. This is a team that's going to come out pretty fiery in 2024.
Ken, we're broadcasting live from the Palms in Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot coming up, and we'll have that coming up for you right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We talk now men's basketball, joined by Wes Dreamer off the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team. And Wes, talked to you a little bit before the game on Saturday, but since that particular time, you received a pretty good honor yesterday with the MIAA Player of the Week Award, also being named to the Small College Basketball Champions Classic All-Tournament team as well. So a couple nice honors for you in the last couple of days.
Yeah, thank you, John. Thank you.
And let's just talk about this past weekend. A couple of good teams you guys went up against with Upper Iowa and then Emmanuel on Saturday on that Friday afternoon game, 30 points there, and then you follow it up 22 points and a double-double on Saturday as well. But first of all, the Upper Iowa matchup, again, that's a team that's going to win some games this year as well. And what are some things you really felt came out of that win for you guys?
We finally got our offense clicking a little bit. The last couple games in St. Joe, we were struggling to score the ball, so it was good to see us kind of get that rhythm. But then our defense went downhill. So we just got to find the fine line in between those.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what this time of year is all about, isn't it, to try to get that complete game rolling here?
Yeah, it's never just going to be perfect right away. It's a work in process, and we just need to hopefully find it sooner rather than later.
Now, on Saturday, you faced a team for the first time in school history in Emmanuel, coming out of Franklin Springs, Georgia, a team that's here in the last few years made that move from an NAIA to a Division II, and it looks like they're doing that pretty successfully, and just seemed like one of the biggest keys in that game was just Emmanuel got to the free throw line extremely large amount of time. I think 37, hit 29 of those, and that seemed to be one of the big keys of the game.
Yeah, we knew they were athletic, very strong team, so we knew they were going to try to bully us. And look, it was one of our scout things was saying stay down on shot fakes, which something we clearly didn't do, and that's one thing we were upset about in that game. We didn't really execute what we were told to do, so it's just one of those things where we got to look past it and move on.
Yeah, you had an opportunity there where you had up by 13 early in the second half, but I think everyone knew that they probably still had another run or two left in them, and unfortunately they were able to do that and kind of trade a buckets down the stretch. And again, that free throw line, one of the big difference, but still had a couple big threes down the stretch. One you hit, and I think Bennett had another one there that kept you guys right in it.
Yeah, just shots that we had to start making, and then We just weren't able to get the stops we needed. Like you said, we had a pretty good lead there in the second half. Still, we just couldn't put together 3-4 stops in a row, which really came back to bite us.
Yeah, it just seemed like again you were just maybe a couple 3 possessions away from putting that game away and just couldn't get it done.
Definitely, yep.
Now, just as far as picking up the MIAA Player of the Week Award, I know it's more of a team thing for you guys overall, but what's that mean to you to be recognized like that?
It feels good. It just shows working hard, it always pays off. And then just sticking to what we know as a team, working together, it pays off. Someone will get awarded by that. And if it's me, fine. If it's someone else, even better. So it's not a big deal to me. I just want to win games.
Well, you've won a few so far, yep. Too. So, but there, hopefully there are a lot more to win here this season.
Let's
as
hope
well.
So.
Now, you turn around, a quick turnaround here after a long trip up north, head over to St. Louis. What time are you guys leaving to go over to St. Louis this week?
Here in about 30 minutes.
Yep. That's definitely a short turnaround. Then you've got a matchup tomorrow with Missouri-St. Louis tomorrow afternoon. And there, we were talking a little bit earlier before you came on here about Missouri-St. Louis. Well, it's a team that right now one win on the season. They've got a game this afternoon too, but that's a little bit deceiving too. They played a tough schedule, much like what Northwest has early on.
Yeah, they were an Elite Eight team last year, so they're clearly well coached and have great players. So we got our hands full coming off a long road trip and then going another 5 hours to play them. So it'll be good. It's just we schedule these tough games in the beginning of the year for a reason, and they're clearly a really good team. And we just need to be prepared and focus up and lock in tomorrow.
How much have you got, has the team been able to go over kind of a game plan for Missouri-St. Louis and some of the things that you're looking for out of them tomorrow? Or is that coming up a little later today?
It'll probably be a little bit later today. We kind of touched on it early this morning, but it's something we'll dial in tonight and then tomorrow morning for sure.
Yeah, really, and it looks like they've got a couple guys to really be concerned about. One of their guards looks like a guy that can put a lot of points up on the board.
Yeah, I mean, we had that the last two games, two of the leading scorers in the whole nation. So, I mean, it's nothing new. Tough guards are we got to step up on the defensive end, so it's a good test for our guards as well. I think going against those two guys will be good.
Yeah,
last week.
It definitely then turn around. Then next week you're right into the MIAA's portion of the schedule, and it just seems like that comes around earlier and earlier every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it comes up fast, and we got to be prepared for it, definitely.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too. In the past, even before you came into the program, and it seemed like traditionally the MIAA schedule wouldn't get started until maybe January 1 or right after mm-hmm. that. So you had a little more time to kind of work out some of the kinks and what you teams wanted to do. But right now you just kind of have to get right after the start of the season.
We got to get ready as a team. It's coming up. Our guys got to lock in. I got to lock in. Everyone's got to lock in.
As far as coming into your final season at Northwest, what were some of the main things that you wanted, and what are some of the main things you want to accomplish coming into this final year?
Just leaving a good mark, not just on the program, but on the community. Me as like just being here long enough, I want to teach the young guys what it's like to have a good culture. Just leaving a good mark on the team.
I'd say you've got a pretty good start on that already. When you look at some of the things that one of just 15 Bearcats with 1,000 points and 500 rebounds and 9 career double-doubles now, you're on your way to making a pretty darn good mark right now.
Yeah, well, let's just keep it going. We'll just try to keep it going. Yeah.
All right, and one other thing I need to talk to you about before I let you go here, sporting a little bit of a different look with the hair for this season. What's behind all that?
Well, I got to finally get a job after this year, so I better start looking like I can work somewhere.
All right. Well, you know, you've got a little bit of a different look. Abreu out there is looking a little bit different. Especially he's gotten rid of some of that, though, with getting rid of the mustache here after the first weekend.
Yeah, he did all that just for Halloween, so that's all gone now. He can finally look back to normal.
All right. Well, again, Wes, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show here, and I'll let you get on the bus and have a fun drive over to St. Louis today.
Thank you, John.
Again, that's Wes Dreamer with us here on the KXEV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back. We'll have more for you right after this timeout.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum. providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday, and news updates throughout the day at MarysvilleDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXEV, KRNW, comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the KXEV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, live from the Palms in downtown Maryville. We're joined now by Whit Cunningham, Northwest Missouri State Cross Country Coach. Wick, wrapping up the NCAA National Championships over the weekend down in Joplin. The men take 24th as a team. You come home with an All-American overall, especially you consider the youth on this program right now. A really good takeaway from that trip to Joplin.
Yeah, absolutely. Being a first time we qualified since 2019, it was all of their first times at the National Championships. It was just a great opportunity for us to learn what that environment's like and be in that environment and just, you know, be fully immersed in that. And I think they handled it really well.
Going into that, or do you have any reservations of how will someone respond to a certain setting, especially some of these young guys going in? Or are you pretty confident that, hey, we were just here, they know the course, we'll be fine?
You know, I was really confident on their knowledge of the course, their ability to get out there and get a good position. And honestly, throughout the weekend, I was just watching and trying to get a vibe on them. And no one looked or felt crazy nervous or anything like that. They all seemed excited, appropriate amount of nerve, all that and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's just... Yeah, the times, clocks don't lie. It's D1, 2, 3, NAIA, JUCO. It's awesome to be able to mix it up with anybody on the right day.
One of the best coming from this one. Drew Atkins ran his 10K in 30 minutes, 15.5 seconds. It's 4:52 per mile across 6.2 miles. An impressive day for him. He's still a young guy. What is it about Drew that just kind of sets him apart and allows him to step up in moments like this?
Yeah, it's definitely his you can go back to his work ethic. He put in a million miles this summer, always doing all the right things. But it's really when he leaves practice, and I can't spend the whole day with him. I can't hold his hand, but I know he's got a pretty rigid diet, sleep schedule, stretching routine, all these things he does on the outside of practice that I know about. I guess I can't confirm that he does them, but I think the results are showing me that he does all those right things on the outside, and I think that's what sets him apart. You know, everybody can show up and run a hard workout, try hard in the race, but it's that outside of practice time that he does all those right things.
You know, it's easy to look at the top two especially, but up and down, they're good athletes for this Northwest cross country team. But is this an iron sharpens iron situation? Because it feels like we've had, you know, Drew's been the top runner for Northwest for a while, then Nate will step up and have a few good runs and take that top spot. Are these guys just kind of back and forth and making each other better?
The whole team's making each other better. There's no ironclad. This is our number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sure, they might find themselves there more times than not. But everybody's ready to step up if someone else maybe just isn't feeling up that day or doesn't have it that day. And I think that's the biggest thing. We're looking at the Northwest team score. We're not looking at, hey, here's what I scored for the team. And I think sometimes we can get that backwards.
Whenever you think about all the runners that were down there and how Northwest performed overall, how big of a step is this for the program too to get that experience and now come back around 2024 and a chance to make another run at it?
You're exactly right. You know, everyone's all excited. We don't lose anybody. Nobody graduates, anything like that. And, you know, I sit them down and I told them, hey, we got 365 days to go. We gotta navigate that time before we can even talk about getting back to the meet. Oh, but you're exactly right. Getting that experience is huge. I think that, yeah, they're all young, they're all excited, and hungry to just stay on that gas pedal. We got to make sure we keep that mentality. It's easy to keep that mentality 2, 3, 4 days removed from the meet, but we need to keep that mentality in May, June, July.
How quick now do things shift for you and these athletes when we think about indoor track and field? We've got the first meet coming up on December 2nd, the Mel Churchman Classic here at home. How quick are we jumping right into that now?
Yeah, so some of them are going to go on a break right now and, you know, skip out of that meet coming off a big cross season. Some of them are going to try to ride that cross-country fitness to a new 5K PR or something like that, maybe a 3K PR, and then they'll take a little downtime. So it's kind of 50-50 on where people are going right now. But, yeah, it's a quick change, quick mindset shift, and that's kind of back to that winter grind, very similar to the summer grind.
Is this – of course, we've got cross-country and a lot going on. We've got athletes getting ready for the indoor season, too. But do things really ramp up for you when you think about hosting some of these indoor meets, and then we're straight into the spring after that?
Yeah, it's the world as a distance runner is very unforgiving in their time frames and stuff. You know, you're never off, I guess. For me as a coach, obviously, indoor season gets crazy busy. But for these athletes, it's busy too. You know, we're not only racing these meets, but we're hosting a lot of youth meets, which we're very involved in, which is an amazing experience for these guys. But yeah, it's all about just trying to. We got to try to not get too greedy, because in trying to get everything, we'll get nothing. So we got to just be really complacent and content and okay with it. It's like, okay, this is just where I am right now. We're going to check off the box every week, and you know, it's going to culminate and come together.
Reese Smith was one of those we didn't get to see out for cross country meets, but looking at his track record, obviously an outstanding athlete, a national champion at Northwest Missouri State. How does his status kind of heading into the indoor? Is that a guy that, like, you know what, we're not going to push him too much, we're just going to allow him to ease in?
It's exactly right. You never want to, with an athlete like him, I've learned for a couple years now, we can never push or rush things. And it can be really nerve-wracking, frustrating at times for both him and I, of course. But, you know, he's very confident in himself. He's very assured about – he knows what he needs to do to get where he wants to be. And we have a really good dialogue together, and we're able to discuss all of that stuff and work together.
Well, Wake, congratulations on another great cross-country season. And now we'll kind of shift gears and get ready to talk to you about indoor track and field here these next few months. But appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State cross-country coach Wick Cunningham joining us. The Bearcats wrap up the national championships on the men's side, finishing 24th as a team. Drew Atkins finishes 34th and is an All-American. We'll take a break. Back with more on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State Bearcat women's basketball. We are joined by a couple Bearcats, Kaylee Keston, Janie Green. Appreciate you two coming on and talking with us here. And off to a fast start, 4-0. Everybody's kind of talking about it's the first time Northwest is 4-0 in 6 years. What do you guys take from that this early in the season? Do you even look at the record that much and pay attention to it?
I think a little bit, yeah, but also we know that the hardest part hasn't started yet, or the MIAA is the best conference in the country. So I think we're taking it as like a springboard to go into conference, so just kind of keeping our confidence up.
I think we also take it, like Jenna said, as confidence, and we know we're a lot better than we have been, and so just going in and continuing to work hard in each practice is super important for us moving forward.
So John and I were talking a little bit before, as we kind of intro the show, the last time the Northwest started that fast, it was 5-0 in the 2016-17 season. Maybe there was some fool's gold in there, mixing in some NAIA schools and some teams that weren't quite up to that Division II level that we've seen so far. You guys have played four tough games against four good teams, some neutral site games. Whenever you kind of see what you're doing right now, you kind of feel like, all right, we're building to where we're going to be ready to go once that MIAA schedule rolls around on November 30th.
Definitely, and I think we haven't even, like, scratched the surface on, like, how good we can be. Like, a couple of those games, I think we should have, could have won by 20 points. Like, and we're just playing together and playing hard, having fun.
Is that a confidence booster, Kaylee, when just take the past weekend, for instance, a 16-point win and a 23-point win. I kind of felt like, well, Coach Meyer talked about maybe we lack some energy against William Jewell. And then at times a little bit sloppy, missed some shots we should have hit against Rockhurst. Both of those, like Jana mentioned, it could have been a whole lot more in 16 and 23. That's pretty impressive to be winning like that when you're still pretty far away from your peak overall.
Yeah, I agree in what you're saying. And I think that these games are good for us because it's letting us work out the kinks where we lack, but it also isn't like it's setting us up for success, if that makes sense. And so we take these games, and even though we've won by high margins, we're still coming back and saying, okay, we still need to get this better, we need to fix this and continue to work.
You know, over the weekend playing that game at Municipal Auditorium against Rockhurst, that was one where I think they were the designated home team. They're from Kansas City. You guys have played at Municipal quite a few times now. Is that kind of just, all right, home away from home? We know this gym. We know how the rims work and just everything like that.
Yeah. We were talking about, like, how it felt like March when we, like, stepped in there. So it was weird. But, yeah, it was nice to get, like, a little feel for it also before the new year and playing in the MIAA tournament. But, yeah, it felt, like, familiar.
Yeah. There are more butterflies when it feels like March?
I'm not sure.
Definitely, because in March it's like win or go home. So like it was nice to not have that like sort of pressure. Obviously, you still want to win, but that's what I thought at least.
Senior, a junior, you guys have been around the program for quite a while. When you think about knowing Coach Meyer, but then it mixing in Coach Guest as the assistant, the energy that he's bringing to. How have things changed, even though a lot is still the same? There's a lot of continuity on this team.
I think it adds a different view and different experiences, which is great coming to a program where last year we were still trying to figure it out, and then bringing someone in to help Meyer that much more, help us individually that much more is good for our team, and to see things from an outside perspective and then come into our team and fill those holes that we're missing. So he's been great, great energy. We love him.
Do principles change very much when you're running up and down like you are right now, as opposed to a lot of last year and last few years has been more half court D up that way and just slow things down?
Definitely a lot faster game, definitely more possessions. When you're playing faster, you're probably going to have more turnovers because you're trying to get the ball up the court. But I don't think that like overall our like mindset has changed. We just want to push, play hard, like play together, stuff like that.
Northwest Missouri State basketball getting set to take on William Woods this weekend. They'll play that one at home on Saturday at 1:30. The Bearcats 4-0 so far this season. We're coming up on that Thanksgiving holiday. You two guys practiced already this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now kind of free heading into the holiday. How are you balancing the, of course, everybody wants to talk about Thanksgiving, the dinners, the eating, everything coming with that while you're also in the middle of a season. How do you balance all that?
Personally, it's a nice little break, maybe like a Saturday, Sunday weekend break for me at mm-hmm. least. And then we're treating this Saturday as, of course, it's an important game, but also our last game before we get into MIAA. So it's great to be with family, but personally, I'm already looking ahead to the next game mm-hmm. and not this weekend, but the weekend after. So,
yeah, agree. I don't know. I've never been, like, the largest fan of Thanksgiving. Like, I like the food and stuff, but it's also, like, you know in the back of your mind, like, whatever you put in your body is what you're going to get out of it the next yeah. couple days. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's what I was going to say. Like, don't eat too much food because you're going to regret it yeah. the next morning, Friday morning.
So don't hammer it in one day. You're saying, all right, small increments through a few days.
Yeah.
Enjoy some leftovers.
That's
overall.
A good idea.
We'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah, we'll see. Are you guys like, all right, we're waking up Thursday morning, we're getting our run in, 5K sort of thing, turkey trot families?
Yeah, I'm that way, but it's okay if you're not.
I'll be down in Kansas City because my brother's team is playing at T-Mobile, so maybe I'll get a little treadmill run in or something.
I do appreciate Kaylee saying, it's okay if you're not, but...
Yeah.
Mixing that in, and instead of going back to Omaha, going mm-hmm. to Kansas City, a chance to spend time with the family there, mm-hmm. your brother playing for Creighton. Just college basketball, is that just a way of life right now in the Green household?
Yeah, right now it is. I feel like it's like a countdown every year. My parents are like waiting for basketball season, and then when it's over, they're like, what do we do? But yeah, I mean, it's my last year and his first like eligible year because he redshirted last year. So it's kind of interesting that we like line up like that.
Have you had talks, or do they kind of sit down and say, all right, Jana, we're going to miss this in this game because we're going here, but we're going to miss his games here because we're going on this trip? Have they balanced that out?
Yeah, definitely. And I like to give him crap because I'm like, guys, this is my last year. Like, you're going to miss. What if you miss this? But, yeah, they're good about it. And they'll, like, split. Like, my mom will go there and my dad will come see me or stuff like that. So.
And you got the shot block record as a junior. So,
yeah,
you know, that's out of the way, right?
Yeah, no more big milestones.
Kaylee, on your side. Heading to Denver for the weekend, is that correct?
Yes.
You're making that drive out or you're flying?
Flying, yes, fortunately, flying.
Now, will you be running that 5K and doing that in the mountains? What are the plans when we look at that? Maybe some hikes mixed in?
Yes, hopefully some hikes. We're only there for a limited amount of time, so a lot of card games, but maybe a little run around the neighborhood. It's a little bit hilly, but not too bad. Hopefully the elevation helps me rather than like hurts me, but we'll see when we come back, I guess.
Now, so we're talking the other room that you had Lawrence listed in the program as your hometown, but yeah, it's going to be switched a little bit to Denver. You didn't spend much time in Kansas at all. Have you kind of been had the chance to move around a little bit throughout your life?
Yeah, I grew up in Utah. A great experience. I love that place. But I also love Lawrence just as much. There's good family there, good friends. So I don't discredit it or think of it as not a home place. Also, my sister lives there. So it's great to go back, see friends, see family, and do all that stuff. This last summer, I spent in Denver, and it was another great experience. My family is mostly there. My parents are there. And it's a great vacation slash getaway, so I'll probably head that way once I graduate eventually.
Trading in altitude for humidity in the summer here in Missouri. Can't beat it, right?
Yes.
That's good. Northwest Missouri State's Kaylee Keston and Janie Green joining us, getting set for MIAA play coming up next week. They'll be taking on William Woods this Saturday. Before I let you go, last year for you, Janie, you still have a couple more. Kaylee, you've been around the program. Do MIAA games, just knowing how good they are and the teams you're facing, do you get a heightened sense of bringing it a little bit more? And how do you approach that without putting added pressure on your shoulders in those games?
I think, yeah, being around for a while, obviously the last couple years we've started with Hayes, Kearney, Pitt, Southern, so we know that we have like a tough stretch coming up. And I think the most important thing is maybe not adding that pressure, just so that we like play loose and play free. I feel like some of our issues come when we are like tense and kind of nervous. So that's what I think.
For me, I think it's bringing this confidence with the 4-0, but also understanding that the season has just started and the season is long, and so we can't relax in every practice. We have to attack it just like we're playing the hardest team in the conference or whatever it may be this next weekend. So continuing to work and not letting up at all.
You know, it's such a good conference that it does feel like even number 14 in the league is going to come out and give you a fight every night. But starting off with a tough game, but he mentioned, Jaina, Pitt, Southern, Hayes, Kearney. Well, you played all four of those teams close, if not beat them there in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. It feels like this is a team that could be a tipping point. Run and gun, hit some shots. You never know what can happen. Is there a venue that you like to play in a little bit more than others just because of it's a difficult place to play? They're a good team, and the crowd's always against you.
I like playing at UCM. This year we get to play there, but they don't come to us. We only play them once, so that'll be fun.
I was going to say UCM or Hayes. The environment is great there, and we've had close games there, so it'll be exciting to play.
Both of those places, last time you were there, that close.
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
like get over the hump this year.
Definitely.
Northwest Missouri State taking on William Woods this Saturday at home at 1:30. Come out, check out the Bearcats taking on William Woods before conference play starts up a week from Thursday. Jaina, Kaylee, thanks for the time. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State Bearcat basketball at home this weekend. We'll take a timeout. Back with more on KXCV, KRNW.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers Oil carries a full line of feeds from Purina and Land O'Lakes, along with gates, water tanks, and bulk bins to fit a variety of needs. More information at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from the Palms on this Tuesday afternoon. Joined now by Athletic Director, Northwest Missouri State, Andy Peterson. And Andy, good to have you with us here on the show.
Thanks, John. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in the Ville. Colin McDonough bought me lunch, which is a pleasant surprise. So it's a pretty darn good day.
Yeah, you're set then the rest of the day.
For a little while, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a busy time of year, kind of a little bit of the crossover between the fall sports and the winter sports. Of course, most I think the fall just kind of finished up now over the past week or so.
Yep.
But overall, just kind of talk about that crossover period that keeps you guys busy over there.
Yep. So, yeah, exactly that, right? The fall sports finishing up. And then winter sports taking off, and you know, right now the busy part for me is we're down a couple people, and so just the logistics, the day-to-day stuff is what's kind of eating up time, you know. And it's one of those deals, you always knew that Lori and KO were All-Americans, Hall of Famers, rock stars, whatever you want to call it. But until they're gone, you really don't realize, you know, what they did on a day-to-day basis. I don't even think they realize what they did on a day-to-day basis. And so the little things that are cropping up and showing themselves now that are just kind of keeping me busy. It's for our student athletes. You know, I think it's a little weird, especially the fall that we had last year compared to the fall we've had this year. Has been a hard pill to swallow for some of our student athletes. I think, you know, football 18 years in a row in the playoffs, volleyball back-to-back years in the playoffs, and a conference championship first one ever last year. Soccer, two best seasons they ever had, and then this year, you know, getting beat in the conference tournament. You know, cross country man was a pleasant surprise. I don't think anybody necessarily saw that coming to that level. But you guys talked to Wick earlier, and you know those guys had a great season. And you know, women's golf and men's and women's tennis, you know, had pretty significant strong falls as they lead into winter break, but obviously their championships are in the spring. So it's just been a different feel in the fall, you know, but at the same time, it's one of those you don't want it to happen, right? You know, I've told people over the last 3 or 4 years, eventually football's not going to make the playoffs. There's going to be a year where we lose a couple games that we probably shouldn't have or could have won, but you lose, you know, somebody makes a play or whatever, and you're going to miss the playoffs. It's going to happen. I don't want it to, obviously. Our student athletes are such good kids that put in the time, the effort, and the work, but it's going to happen eventually. And so there's a weirdness around the building on, well, it happened, so now what do we do with our quote-unquote free time? Because typically we're traveling. We're figuring out charter flights or how to drive to Wichita Baptist this weekend or whatever it may be. And so you're kind of swamped just with logistics of figuring out where everybody's going, how we're doing that, you know, getting cash advances for traveling over breaks and all that stuff. And so all of that has kind of went away. And so there's just this weird lull. And, you know, especially with men's women's basketball, for the most part, being on the road the first 3 weeks. You know, women had a game on Friday, and then they play again this Saturday. But other than that, everybody's been on the road, so it's just been a little bit awkward, a little bit weird. But I do appreciate what I've seen from our student athletes, especially the fall sports. They don't pity. There's no feeling sorry for themselves. I mean, they understand. You know, Northwest Missouri State. Because of what football's done over the last 25 years, because of what basketball's done over the same period of time, especially the last, you know, 10 with Coach Mack, we know that we've got a target on us all the time, you know, not just those two programs, but everybody. And so, you know, I thoroughly appreciated our student athletes and their mindsets. You know, obviously we try to uplift the seniors as they finish their careers and stuff. But the rest of them, as they kind of reset and get back to neutral and try to get prepared and prepped for a spring off season where they can work on their craft and try to mold in and fold in newcomers and recruits. You know, we had signing day a couple weeks ago on Wednesday and had 42 or 43, I think, freshmen that signed NLIs with us across all the sports except for football, which is exciting. And so, you know, it's just been a new vibe this year, something that no one's really used to around here, and that's okay. You know, I think it takes a little bit of that, for lack of a better term, humble pie every now and then, you know, to try to relight your fire and restoke the flame a little bit, and your competitiveness, but also just your focus on what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. I think that may be a little bit more than anything. You know, at times I think we get a little bit too transactional, and it's all about winning and losing. Not all about it, but we focus on that a little bit too much. And so you forget about why we're doing what we're doing for our young people, for our student athletes and their development as people and the life lessons that are taught through sport. And so it's just been a little bit of a reset for all of us. And I think if you have the right mindset about that, it can be really, really good.
You know, one thing, though, when you talk about volleyball and football and not particularly having the season that they had hoped for, still volleyball, 8th straight season, they've had a winning season. I think football was a 28 or so straight years of a winning season. So still a lot of good came out of those two seasons.
You know, I mean, one senior on the volleyball roster. You know, football had one or two seniors on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, they got some large production pieces on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, soccer had probably a much more impactful or productive senior class that just graduated. But, I mean, that squad, I think, is primed to be, you know, at the top of the league again next year, just with who they've got coming back and the experience that they had this year, but also the incoming freshmen and folks that are joining. So, yeah, I mean, it's by no stretch of the imagination is it a failure in any way other than it's just not the expectation that you have. But I think that's what I appreciate about our student athletes that I've talked to and that I've seen is there was an initial, you know, 48-hour, like, dang it. And since then it's been like, all right, let's go. We're back to at the bottom of the mountain, just like everybody else is usually at this time of year, and we're gonna get back after. You know, and that's something else. You see, even for the coaching staffs, like to get out on the recruiting road a little bit earlier for football specifically. You know, typically we're still prepping for games and stuff, and so for the last week and a half, 2 weeks to be able to get out recruiting wise and touch base with student athletes on their home turf. Where it makes sense to recruit a kid, not on a phone when you're on a bus traveling somewhere and you've got a million other things that you're responsible for. There's a different level to it. And then also just personally, being able to have Thanksgiving, being able to, and not that we haven't had Thanksgiving, but to spend it with your family, to spend it with your loved ones, close ones, is just a different opportunity than what we've had in the last however many years. You know, well, when you're traveling, Coach Wright says it all the time. Doro used to say it. Coach T kind of started the whole thing was, you know, hey, we want to have Thanksgiving as a team. And so when you don't have it, it's a darn it thing. It's a should be here, should do that, and all that. And I get that. But at the same time, there's an opportunity to reset as a coach, as a person, and say, here's an opportunity for me to spend some quality time with my family, because your family sacrificed so much, especially at this level when, you know, we've got a staff of, you know, four or five people in our department on the admin team, and you've got, you know, six, seven guys on the football staff and three on basketball. I mean, this is not Division I power athletics where you've got a staff of 25 and everybody's got their own role. I mean, everybody on all of our staffs is wearing multiple hats. And so you just get really, really busy. But when that happens, your families are the ones that sacrifice so you can stay at the office later. You're gone on the weekends, et cetera, whatever. And so just the opportunity to spend some time with family and kind of hit a reset and a little bit of reflection, too, of, hey, appreciation for your student athletes, appreciation for your support staff, the trainers and the strength coaches and the families of your student athletes. You know, we know more than most that our Bearcat Nation travels pretty darn well. A lot of Bearcat Nation that travels, you and I, John, can probably list off the regulars that we see at home football games or road football games, road basketball games. You know, we could come up with a list pretty easy. But a majority of our fans that travel are our parents, our football, you know, our student-athlete parents, all sports. And so even for them, too, like, you know, they appreciate and love, you know, going traveling on the road for holidays, because for them it's a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal when their son or daughter's playing. It's just, again, it's just an opportunity, a reset, humble pie, whatever you want to call it. With the right mindset, it can be very, very positive for us, laying the foundation for next year for fall sports. As we move through this holiday season.
One thing I'd like to talk about here was an announcement that came out yesterday from the MIAA office about Northeastern State not dropping football but going as an independent and leaving the MIAA on the football side, everything else staying the same. But what does that do as far as from an administrative standpoint now? With obviously next year you can still have them on the schedule, but it wouldn't count as a conference game, much like what Lincoln was this year. But as far as scheduling down the line and everything, what's some of the processes you're going through because of this?
Yeah, so again, it's just an opportunity. You know, it's a lot more work, I'll say, especially for the institutions in our league that are playoff contenders. There's a lot more work to do because you probably can't just call up 2 or 3 teams and say, hey, you want to play week 4? And they say, yeah, we'll meet you there. You know, because if, I mean, like we've seen this year and in past for, you know, other programs that you lose the wrong game at the wrong time and you miss the playoffs. And so there's a lot of skepticism on people, you know, hey, I don't want to go travel to Maryville and play Maryville in a non-con if I'm a playoff contender, because that's a game I probably can't afford to lose. Unless I'm aiming on winning my league and going undefeated, then, yeah, I can play Northwest Missouri State in a non-conference game and lose and it not be a big deal. Now, you get the right coach at the right time with the right team, and they're saying, heck, yeah, let's do it. I want to strap them up and see where we're at. So it's going to be a lot more work when you've got 12 teams in the league and you do an 11 game season. It's pretty darn easy to set the schedule, right? I motion that this schedule is approved and you get a second from a colleague and everybody votes on it. And yeah, there you go. There's a schedule. You don't have to worry about it. But, so having these non-conference games or having these opportunities to go out and schedule folks, is going to be a little bit more work, but it's necessary, I think, and I think it's an opportunity for us to frame it the right way. Obviously, I hope that Northeastern State can get out of it what they want to get out of it. Obviously, they're not trying to get out of the league, as far as we know at this point. They're trying to build their football program up, and they just feel like, you know, going toe-to-toe with the MIAA week in and week out, they can't build the program that they want to build. So they take a couple of years off playing as independent and playing, you know, probably some NAIs, some other D2 institutions that have some flexibility in their schedules and, you know, build some wins and get some rapport. Obviously, they're going to have a new coach, too. They feel like they can – or the point is, the goal is that they can build a little bit of a program where they can step back in the MIAA in a couple of years and start to compete a little bit. That's the goal. That's the idea for them. So, but for us, it is an opportunity, too. I mean, Pittsburgh State, Central Missouri, Western this year, obviously, was probably on the bubble. If they don't lose the Southern that last game of the year, they're probably in. You know, we're probably a sprained knee away from being on the bubble as well. You know, if you take a winless team or a one-win team off your schedule and you add somebody that's 500, your strength of schedule is much, much, much different, especially in our region right now where, you know, the GAC is a closed schedule. The GLIAC's got a lot of open dates. The GLVC's got a couple of open dates. And so if you can get some of those in-region opponents and play them, it's gonna help you at the end of the year trying to be in the playoff contention. The problem is for 24, we've already set a schedule.
Yeah.
Right? And the decision from Northeastern's coming kind of late. I can appreciate it, though, but it is coming kind of late, so it's hard to blow it up. It's probably it's probably not as big a deal for most of us in the league to find that one game on that week you're playing Northeastern, but we can't hang Northeastern out to dry either. So it's one of those, like, we've got to find a game. We play them, I believe, week 9 in 24. And so it's not just us finding another game week 9, which is difficult enough to do anyway. But it's they've got to find a game, too, to replace that. Because they still want to play a full schedule, you know, probably 10, 11 games, 9, 10, 11 games, somewhere in there. But if everybody just dumps them and, hey, go find independent games, well, they're probably not going to be able to find that many independent. And not it's not that everybody doesn't want to play them either. You know, you can see some of the schools that are trying to build back up, Washburn, Kearney, those guys might want to play Northeastern next year with new quarterbacks, with, you know, new head coaches, if there's new head coaches in the league, whatever may happen, you may want to play that game. You know, so, but yeah, you don't want to just drop them either. So, and you know, they're trying to help. They're trying to help the league. They're trying to be more competitive. They're trying to build their program back up where they want it to compete in this league. And so them taking a 2-year hiatus where they're independent helps them, but it could also help us too if we go get the right games at the right times and have the opportunity to play, you know, playoff contenders or at least schools, at least programs that can help build your resume for playoff selections at the end of the year.
Now, there was a time when, in the conference where the things were the right number of teams where you could play two non-conference games to start the season, then go into the conference season at that particular point. Well, after you get past 2024, will you see it go back to maybe the first two games of the year would be designated non-conference, or will it still have to be kind of staggered the way it is right now?
There's if you have an odd number of teams, it will be staggered because you can't play. Everybody's going to have a bye week, right? If you've got 11 teams or 13 teams, you can only have two teams playing at a time, right? So somebody's going to be left out. So you're going to have that rolling bye is what we call it. There's going to be a rolling bye as long as you've got an odd number of teams. If you have an even number of teams, then yes, you can go back to what you're doing. The issue is, the challenge is, as a conference, do you want to name a conference champion? If you want to name a conference champion, it's hard to do that if you don't play everybody in the conference. Or you don't have divisions, and then a conference championship at the end in week 11 or whatever you want to call it. That's where the league, we all need to get on the same page because it depends on the time of year, right? In the summertime, we're all thinking, yeah, let's make a conference champion. We get into this time of year, it's like, holy crap, we need to help out, you know, a Missouri Western with three losses. They should be in the playoffs. What helps them out the most? Well, it's not necessarily playing Lincoln, Northeastern, you know, they need to be playing other teams that gets them up, boost their rankings a little bit. So it's just one of those, like, for 12 or 13 or 14 institutions to all agree upon the same reasoning for the decision you're making is probably never going to happen. But that's why, you know, democracy usually takes over and you have a vote of some sort. But, yeah, I mean, it's the philosophy behind it. You know, I've always been one that I'm in the conference for conference reasons. And so for a long time, I voted for and supported, as long as we had 12 institutions, I want an 11-game regular season. We've got a natural conference champion. If you're a conference champion in this league, I can pretty much guarantee you that you're going to be in the playoffs. If you finish 10-1, you're probably also going to be in the playoffs. And then it's going to be a crapshoot. If you're 9-2 or 8-3, you're on the bubble. And that was part of the deal, you know. Now, again, we were fortunate for 18 years. There were multiple times where we had two or three losses, and we got in the last spot, you know, the last spot in the playoff selections. Very fortunate in those scenarios, in those cases. I don't think there's any way to guarantee that the third place team is going to get in our current structure, the current way that the MIAA is set up with regionalization and Division II football. But it's not just Division II football. I shouldn't say that. With regionalization the way it is currently set in Division II, you're not going to guarantee a certain number of teams from your league. And so then it really just boils down to you got to win the games on your – I'm not trying to throw anything south at all, but if Missouri Western beats Missouri Southern that last game of the year, they're probably in the playoffs. They lost to Southern at Southern last game of the year. That's what held them out, right? I can think back a few years ago, Pittsburgh State had the same thing. Last game of the year, they lose to Washburn, probably knocked them out. It's very, very difficult in this league, and I think that's the argument that everybody's making for the MIAA is it's difficult to go through this league and be undefeated, one loss or two losses, because there are three or four really good teams. You're probably one of them if you're in that bucket. And to roll through those other three or four top-notch teams and beat all of them, two of them home, one, two of them away, it's hard to do. So a lot goes into it, but it's just, again, I think it's an opportunity for the league to think differently and to try to be proactive for our institutions and our student-athletes.
All right. Well, Andy, as always, good to have you on the show here, and have a good Thanksgiving.
You too, John. We'll see you soon.
All right. Again, that's Andy Peterson, Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State on the KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe Coaches Show. Don't forget, we have got basketball coming up this weekend. We'll have things tomorrow afternoon at St. Louis. We talked a little bit with Wes Dreamer about this matchup in Northwest and Missouri St. Louis coming up tomorrow afternoon. 3:15 is tip-off time. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 2:45 with our pregame from St. Louis. That game actually on the Maryville University campus. So if you're planning to go over there and watch that, don't head over to Humps. You need to head over and go to the Maryville University campus in St. Louis and watch Northwest and Missouri St. Louis play. Again, that's a 3:15 tip-off. Then on Saturday, Northwest Missouri State women face William Woods as Matt Trin will have play-by-play of that one. That's at Bearcat Arena again on Saturday afternoon. Again, you're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, and that's the KXCV KRNW Coaches Show.